There goes the runner from first. Pitch is drilled deep down the left field side. This one's getting out. A line shot home run by J.J. Hardy. His second on the night, 16th on the year. A two-run job that now gives the Orioles a 7-3 lead.
There's your play of the game, brought to you by Speed Boost from Rogers. Hello, Speed Boost. Goodbye waiting. Another first only from Rogers. And just when you thought the Blue Jays were right back in this one, it appeared early as though this 4-0 lead that the Orioles had built up through 2.5 was going to be pretty tough to overcome. For some reason, it just felt that way. The game was taking a while, and it kind of settled in. But then Adam Lind goes deep. Right after Jose Bautista gets drilled in the left ear flap, Lind with a three-run homer, his 19th big fly of the season, gets the Jays back within a run. But then right away, no shutdown inning as Brandon Morrow gives up a homer to Nolan Reimold, leading off that fourth, and then J.J. Hardy does that. His second home run of the ballgame, part of a 4-RBI night for him, and gets the Baltimore Orioles off and running to their 12-4 win over your Toronto Blue Jays. We will have John Farrell's post-game news conference for you. Our intrepid reporter, David Alter, informs us that John Farrell did say Jose Bautista is available to play tomorrow. So that means he's had no symptoms of a concussion, which is fantastic, especially when you consider that fastball that he took right in the ear in the fourth inning. They took him out of the game, which was the right thing to do. But now they will not have to follow the concussion protocol. He had no signs. And that's great news for the Blue Jays. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. A rough night for pitchers all over the place. The Red Sox are leading the Royals 13-7. That is in the bottom of the seventh inning. And Mitch Meyer is up and warming in the Royals bullpen. He is a center fielder. The Florida Marlins beat Washington 11-2 to go on with this one. And the Yankees took down Seattle, though not a rough night for pitchers there. 4-1 was the final. CC Sabathia, career-high 14 strikeouts. The Mariners' losing streak has reached 17 games. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And don't be too rough on Brandon Morrow. Yes, he got beat up. But over his last seven starts, he was 5-0 with an ERA of 2.85, a whip barely over one, more strikeouts than innings pitched, and opponents had hit just 195 against him. So I'm not saying he was due, but I am saying he's at least earned the chance to not get ripped for having a bad night. Let's get to the phones. It is Jay's Talk and Brian in Toronto. You're going to lead us off. Hey, Brian. Going once. Okay, we got no Brian in Toronto. Sorry about that. We will see what Joe Cicilia can do to get us the next in line. Again, we do have a couple of lines open at 416-870-0590, star 590, and 1-888-666-0590. Let's head out to Ottawa, see if we can talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I'm a little surprised that even though that pitch on Bautista was, it was an obvious accident, you know, it being him, I'm surprised nobody, especially in a blowout game like that, came back and threw it an Orioles hitter.
Yeah, you know what, I'm a little surprised too. I mean, I know that there's the idea that retaliation, you know, immediate retaliation, whether you meant it or not, is something that was warranted. I don't believe in that, and I do believe also that if you'd gone right after a guy, you're going to get run, and yeah, there's really no point in doing that. But when you're getting beat up like this, and it's 10-4 after 5, and everybody's looking really comfortable, and they're digging in on you, and you know, there is no reason not to put a fastball in somebody's rib cage. And that's just one part of it, completely ignoring the fact that Bautista got nailed in the head. This is a Baltimore team that leads the league in hit batsmen. They are, I don't think they're headhunters. I don't think they're going out there trying to hurt anybody. But there is nothing wrong at all with kind of standing up a little bit and saying, yeah, I don't think we're going to take this so much. And I'm lying. They're not leading the league in hit batsmen at all. I read that at some point earlier in the ballgame. They are actually dead last in the league in hitting batters. So they're not headhunters at all. But, again, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, just take it easy a little bit. We're not going to let you get away with this stuff.
Yeah, no, I was just kind of a little disappointed myself. Not like I said, you don't have to go throw it a guy's head. You don't have to come right back and
no, and you don't obvious. Throw it a guy's head.
Yeah, no, you don't. But like, you know, like you said, just in the back or in the rib cage or something like that. Even if the guy's able to get out of the way, just kind of send a message that you're not gonna, you know, put up with that.
Yeah, and how much would Wilfredo Ledesma have endeared himself to his new teammates by walking into a game and just drilling somebody?
I was actually waiting for him to do that.
Yeah, I thought he might.
Especially that situation. The second thing, like, I want to talk about, and I know that, like, usually you always say when AA, you hear rumors, he never goes after the guy that you hear about. But you keep hearing about, like, these names, like, you follow him as Heath Bell. And I'm just wondering, like, in your opinion, if they are going to trade some prospects to maybe get a guy that can get him draft picks or get a guy like Jimenez that can help them, and maybe not this year because they're out of it, but like the next couple of years down the road, who are some guys, like a guy like David Cooper, for instance, or an Adam Loewen, like what type of trade value would guys like, maybe even like an Eric Thames, like a guys like that have to other teams?
I don't think Cooper and Loewen have great trade value at all. I mean, Loewen, anybody could have had in the Rule 5 draft this winter and nobody took him.
But that was before he put up the numbers.
Well, he had a good year last year, though, too. And remember, you have to take all the numbers in Vegas with a huge grain of salt. As far as Cooper, he's not a guy that you can build a trade around. He's someone who maybe fits as a third piece to kind of get you over the top. But a David Cooper kind of player is not that difficult to find. A good defensive first baseman who doesn't hit for much power, but who can get on base. And Eric Thames is off to a really nice start, but if you talk to scouts, a lot of them are not that high on him. So, again, he's not a guy you can build a deal around either. And you know, you're going to have to give up real big-time talent that you don't want to give up if you're going after an Ubaldo Jimenez. Maybe not for Heath Bell, but definitely for Ubaldo Jimenez. You're not going to be able to overwhelm them with quantity of solid players. They want big-time guys, and you know, it's going to have to be Kyle Drabek plus, one would think, to get Ubaldo Jimenez, and in 3 years, Drabek might be Ubaldo Jimenez, so I don't know if you make that deal.
Yeah, I don't think I'd give up Drabek, but I think, like, what's a guy like, even someone like Chad Jenkins, who he was a first-round pick just a couple years ago, and from what I've heard, he's doing okay, but you don't hear him being, like, a top-line guy. Like, I don't think they would give up, like, a Henderson
then,
now.
Then the Rockies don't hear him as being a top-line guy either.
Who's that?
The Rockies.
The Rockies, right? Yeah, I guess your point there. But you really think that the Rockies would ask for Drabek if they were giving up Jimenez?
Uh-huh.
I don't think the Jays would do that.
I don't think they
could.
You cannot get something for nothing. Though. And even though you're not talking about nothing, you have to give up serious quality, I think, to pull in Ubaldo Jimenez. But we'll see. I'm sure the Jays are in on him. I'm sure about that. But I don't know whether or not that means they'll be able to get him. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Don in Toronto. Hey, Don.
Hey, Mike. You're the best friend of Tom Cheek in the world. He'll be in yet.
Oh, there are a lot of better friends of Tom than me, but I really do appreciate
that.
Thank
you. You're one of the best. Anyway, all I'm talking about is two things. One, the throw there, you know, I absolutely believe that guy had no intention to hit Batista. And the only thing I wonder about is why he didn't just walk over and say, I'm sorry or something.
Because you don't do that.
Well, I think you do.
Okay, but you don't. I mean, it's not the way the game works.
Well, at that level, listen.
I've never seen that.
I know football players can lift the hand of a guy they tackle.
Yes.
And soldiers can salute enemies.
I don't know about that anymore.
No problem. Oh, yes, they do.
Not these days. But anyway,
well,
but look, I've been watching this game and watching it pretty closely for 30 years. I imagine you've been watching it longer. I have never seen a guy go over to someone that he's hit and apologize. Never. So I don't imagine that Jake Arrieta was going to be the first guy.
He missed that pitch. That wasn't intentional.
Of course it wasn't intentional.
Not a chance. But anyway, the second thing is, This is a team now. I talked to the president, and it wasn't Muhammad, but right below him, of Rogers. And I asked him today.
You're talking about Keith Pelley?
No, I'm talking about Delvin. You know Delvin?
I don't.
Well, you should.
I should,
but
I guess,
anyway,
yeah.
Here's my point. I was talking to him in terms of the economy and what is going on. And unless this team, and you've got to agree with this, Mike, somewhere, unless they try, at least, and put 20, 30, 40 million more in on whatever they can do, and I don't mean development. 10 years from now, we're still behind it. We have to get some great ball players. There are 8 or 10 really good ball players on this team. Would you admit that?
Eight or ten really good ball players on this team?
Yeah. And Batista will be gone in 5 years.
Probably,
Lynn will be gone in 5 years.
Yeah, probably not.
Pardon me?
Probably not.
Well, then you'll have to pay him $100 million.
Maybe. And they're perfectly willing to do that.
Well, then you're talking $400 million.
What?
You're talking exponentially, because what happens is, if a player gets better and better. Now, Batista's, to me, he's the cheapest paid player in baseball. That's my opinion.
Okay.
And the best.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to get to it, Don. We've been here for a while. What's the point you're trying to make? Just spend money in a vacuum? Oh, I'm sorry, they got rid of you. I didn't mean to do that. Wouldn't have done that. Sorry. The point I think I pulled out of that was that you said that the Blue Jays have to up their payroll by somewhere between $20 and $40 million immediately. My answer to that is that you cannot raise payroll in a vacuum. If the Blue Jays hadn't done the Vernon Wells trade, had signed Jason Worth, and had traded for John Lackey of the Red Sox, their payroll would be $55 million higher than it is right now. And they would be no better, and arguably, they'd be a lot worse. So just spending money doesn't help. Look at the Baltimore Orioles. They just spent money. Derek Lee, Vladimir Guerrero, they spent money. Spending money in a vacuum doesn't work. You have to make the right decisions. You have to spend the money on the right people. And that's what they're trying to do. They're waiting for the right people to come available. They're trying to gather as much talent as they possibly can until then, and build a team that is going to be great. We have phone lines open, but we'll take more of your phone calls in a couple of minutes, because right now we're going to listen in on what John Farrell had to say post-game. But the line, there are a couple of lines open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. A rough night indeed for the Blue Jays. They take it on the chin, 12-4. Let's listen to the skipper, John Farrell. We are we're trying to get John Farrell, and maybe a wire or two is crossed, but we have Tom Young, who is the best in the business, on it. And look at that. In 6 seconds, he has fixed it. Let's listen to John Farrell.
Tonight, Brandon obviously didn't get into the flow and the rhythm as he's done pretty much the last 2 months that he's been on the mound for us. It seemed to start with a two-run double in the second, and things, you know, continued from there. A number of pitches that were up in the plate, up in the zone, a couple of sliders that didn't have the depth that even he showed in the first inning. But once the hole was dug, you know, we had a couple of scoring opportunities to chip away, but bases loaded line drive out to end the sixth inning. And really from that point on, it was, you know, just trying to play catch up here tonight. Jose, after being reexamined in the training room after coming off the field, no symptoms of a concussion. He is eligible right now for tomorrow. So more like the glancing blow that he took, luckily he was able to turn his head and not take a flush blow to the backside of the helmet there. But like I said, he'd be ready to go tomorrow.
John, we could hear that from up at the press box when it hit him in the helmet. I mean, that's got to be pretty scary. I mean, with it's any player, but when it's Jose.
Yeah, it is. And as we've come to know through Jose, I mean, he didn't want to come out of the game. But at that point, you know, you can't take any chances, and every precaution is taken at that moment. You know, even examining him at home plate, you know, there was no dilation of the pupils or anything like that. But still, with a head trauma, he's going to come out of the game at that point.
Now, through the protocol, does he have to go through all those kind of tests to make sure that everything's okay concussion-wise or something like that?
Well, the first exam, once he comes off the field after our training staff examines him, is the doctor in-house. And again, he had no symptoms of a concussion this evening. So with everyone else in a similar situation, we'll certainly check him tomorrow, but everything right now points that he would be available to go tomorrow.
Getting back to Brandon, obviously you gave him every opportunity to kind of correct things as the game went on. You just see it as it was happening, just was the same thing over and over. He wasn't able to kind of correct it.
Yeah, you know, we're in the second, third inning, and to turn to our bullpen at that point, still the stuff was there. The location was not. And when he missed up in the zone, whether it was Hardy, whether it was Reimold, you know, there was a number of balls that were squared up here tonight. But it was a matter of location rather than overall stuff.
So there it is. Great news on Jose Bautista. And for Brandon Morrow, John Farrell felt like he just wasn't hitting his spots. And it's going to happen. If it happens once every eight starts, then that's okay. His last seven starts, Brandon Morrow, had been pretty spectacular. The league hitting just .196 off of him over that period of time. It is the Jays Talk. I'm Mike Wilner, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Back to the phones we go, and to George in Toronto. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, hello. I want to talk about this so-called balanced schedule.
Yeah, the schedule is not balanced at all.
I think it'd be ridiculous, anybody wanting that over playing the Red Sox and Yankees 18 times.
Why?
Well, you play Kansas City, 14,000 people in the stands a game. When you get 35,000 for the Yankees, that's one reason.
You know, I've heard that argument
before.
I don't want
to see big league games. I don't want to see minor league games.
Right, okay. Well, every team in the major leagues.
I want to see the Yankees and the Red Sox. I
mean, then you might want to move to New York.
That's,
I mean, the difference between, George, the difference between a balanced schedule and an unbalanced schedule is one home series a year with the Red Sox and Yankees. That's what
the
Jays would lose.
It'd be 18, 19 games against the Red Sox and Yankees.
Right, that's nine games at home,
and it'd be,
and it would go down to 12.
10-12.
So there would be six games at home, so you'd lose one home series against the Red Sox and Yankees for a legitimate and fair opportunity to make the playoffs.
You know, they make the playoffs, and the Yankees would beat them in the playoffs anyway. I mean, they'd be out in the first round anyway.
Fantastic reasoning,
George.
And
there's no guaranteeing that they'd make the playoffs anyway.
Of course not. No, of course there isn't.
Maybe like Cleveland and Detroit and Kansas City. They're mediocre.
It would be nice to have
like
a fair opportunity, though. You're not
going
to let me talk, are you?
Well, I'm trying to make a point here.
And you've made your point, and I'm trying to...
Anybody who says they want to balance their balance schedule is ridiculous. I don't know a thing about baseball.
Thank you, George. Appreciate the call. You made your point. I'm allowed to make mine after you make yours. That's the way the game goes. Brian in Toronto. Hey, Brian.
Hey there. I was at the game tonight. It was the first time I got to see Travis Snyder in center field.
Yep.
I just want to know what you've been thinking about him and how his performance has been. I know it's been two or three games he's at center now.
This was four, I think.
Four, yeah. He looked a little... I mean, there was one particular ball that he dove for. I don't know if he thought maybe he was trying to save the game there. There's another one that he played a little awkwardly off the center field wall, I thought. But I know I've heard Jerry talking on the radio other games of him listening to, saying that kind of praising his performance. I wonder what you thought.
Yeah, tonight was the first night where Travis did not catch every ball that was hit to him. But the ball he dove for and missed... it's a spectacular effort as far as I'm concerned. It's not a ball that most center fielders will catch. It's a ball that a lot of guys pull up on and let drop in front of them. You know, there are maybe a couple of guys who stay on their feet and catch that ball. Michael Bourne, perhaps. Maybe Brett Gardner. The guys who can really, really move. And Travis Snyder is just a notch below them as far as speed is concerned. The ball off the wall, I thought he played perfectly. He tried to smother it with his body as it caromed off the wall and just kind of got around him a little bit. What I was thrilled with by Travis was on the home run by Derek Lee in the eighth inning, Travis actually got up and over the wall. And I've never seen anybody get a glove over the wall trying to pull a home run back. He didn't try to get it. He didn't get it. But to me, that augurs really well for the future. Tonight was by far the roughest night he had in center field, but I still don't think there were any balls he should have gotten that he didn't.
Well, I heard you say that the speed by it, that he's just a notch below it. That was actually going to be my next question. I thought that I'd heard back when they started him in right field when he first came up, I thought everyone was saying he seems more like a natural left fielder. And isn't the left field kind of where you put your outfielder with the least range? And now they've moved him over to center. I'm not sure where he stands in terms of speed and range in the outfield, but it's me.
He's probably the third fastest guy on the team. Rajay Davis is faster than him. Corey Patterson is probably faster than him, but I'd rather have Snyder on the bases than Corey Patterson. And Mike McCoy might be in that discussion as well. Travis Snyder was timed in spring the other year as the fastest in the left field batter's box down to first base on the ball club. He can really move. And he has this reputation from a few years ago when he came up to the big leagues for the first time and he was a little bottom heavy and wasn't moving that well, that he's this fat, slow guy, and really nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, that's good to hear. Do you think he's projecting as like a 5-tool kind of guy? Like, do you think he'll be an average hitter, or do you think he's just going to be slugging percentage?
I think he's going to be a monster. I really do. And I hope it comes around soon, because I know patience is starting to wear thin with a fan base, but I don't think it is with a ball club yet. I hope. He's going to be out of options next year, so they might not have much choice. I think he's going to be a monster, and he's going to be able to do everything. Absolute 5-tool guy. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate the call. Glad you came to the game. Sorry there wasn't a better result for you. Kyle is in Toronto. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mike. Just a quickie. First, I'll talk about that George. I'm hoping that maybe they do rectify the way that schedule is. I, unlike George, would love to see the Blue Jays in a playoff run every year.
Hold on, though. No, George said if you like a balanced schedule, you don't know anything about baseball.
Well, apparently, I don't know anything about baseball, I guess.
Glad to have you.
I'd love to see a balanced schedule. I mean, to just say that the Blue Jays will go out first round because they meet the Yankees is asinine. Last time I checked, the Yankees haven't represented the American League every single year for the last 20. So, I mean, that's just a little ridiculous. But what I was calling is, I was saying that I'm hoping over the next couple of years, what I would like to see the Blue Jays get is an actual closer. A nice shutdown closer would be good.
Yeah, but those guys tend to emerge rather than find them. You know, we talk about this almost every night. And when you look at who the closers are in the major leagues and who the great shutdown closers are, none of them came to their team as a great shutdown closer. They were guys who just kind of got found along the way, and I expect that's what the Blue Jays are going to be able to do at some point.
Well, I'm sure hoping they find one.
Yeah, I think they will. I'm not worried about that at all. I know that's top of the list for a lot of fans' concerns, but really it doesn't even register for me. A closer will show up.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Also, I'll be at the game on Sunday, so congratulations to Robbie, and hopefully I'll be there early enough for a bobblehead.
Yeah, that would be nice. I hope that we sell the place out on Sunday for Roberto Alomar. He was here today. I got to see him. He says he doesn't feel much different now that he's a Hall of Famer than he did last week. But it's a very, very cool thing, and it was a great weekend for Toronto. As far as the balanced schedule argument goes, I mean, I'm not going to engage too much with the knuckleheads, but the truth of the matter is I would much rather have the Blue Jays in a playoff race for the last 6 weeks of the season than have three extra home dates against the Yankees in Boston. I think that might have a much better effect on attendance. Raptor Eyes John in Toronto. Hey.
Yo, Mike, how you doing over there?
Good, sir.
You know,
know, all this stuff, you know, that what we need is outfielders who can actually catch the ball. You know, like the last couple of games. You know,
well, Saturday night they did, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, he won, but with this Davis guy, you know, he misplayed a fly ball on the night, cost us the game. And tonight, you know, he came in and should have made a catch.
Oh, you're talking about Corey Patterson.
Corey Patterson, yeah.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how we keep bringing it up. Major League outfielders who can't catch the ball. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Corey Patterson should have caught that ball on Saturday night in the ninth inning. Today, I don't know what happened, but anytime you're in mid-dive and a ball goes by you, it's kind of tough to really blame the guy. I mean, it was all-out effort on that, and it's a play I've seen him make a few times already this year. You can't expect the guy to make that play every time.
Well, in Major League, you do.
No, you don't.
Okay. All right, Mike, you say so, but I still think that we need to. It's like every time you look around, they move Jose here and then get another hole appears in the defense. You know, just at this level, you expect to have more confidence in the guys you throw on the field to be able to catch the ball, you know?
It's yeah, I understand, John, but the Blue Jays outfielders, as a rule, don't have a problem catching the ball. We've seen two really balls really badly butchered in the outfield this year. Patterson on Saturday and Juan Rivera the day before he got cut. But that's been it as far as just, you know, simple failure to catch the ball.
Okay, well, maybe my perception is all wrong, but it seems to me like these guys blow more than they do than they catch them, man.
Yeah, well, you could not be more wrong with that, John, but I appreciate the call. As always, you are a fine contributor to the Jays Talk. But we are going to hear from Jose Bautista. David Alter got his scrum, and we'll play that for you in a couple of minutes, but we'll take a couple of more calls first. Les in Toronto. Hey, Les.
Hey, Mike. It's Les. First-time caller, a long-time listener. Love the show.
Welcome aboard. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Anyways, I thought I'd give you a call today. You know, one of my concerns, you know, with the lineup as is right now is of course the catching position.
Of course, why of course?
So I think here's my solution right here, Mike.
Let's hear it.
I think if we could get a decent catcher, okay,
uh-huh.
Could be another Molina, let's say.
Uh huh.
I think Aaron Cibia would be better served on first base or in another role. His focus is not there. His defense, you know, he's got the pop in his bat. I'm not giving up on his bat.
Right.
But I think he would be better served if he would be put up on maybe first base, let's say.
His bat doesn't play necessarily at first base.
I'm sorry, Mike.
His bat doesn't play necessarily
for the outfield.
Lind is not a good outfielder. And he's been a terrific first baseman. I don't know why you would want to move him off that. But to the point about Aaron Cibia, I mean, I don't know that I could disagree with you more, especially when you bring up Jose Molina as the other guy. I mean,
Molina doesn't... I'm going by stats now. Molina is hitting over 300, okay, on limited playing time.
Okay, but then go by career stats. Molina's a .240 hitter over the course of his career, and he's 36 years old. No, he's doing very well in very limited time this year. It's true.
Defensively, Molina,
he is not better than Aaron Cibia.
Well,
defensively, you know, Molina has trouble catching pitches sometimes, which JP doesn't. Molina does not get down and block the ball in the dirt, which JP does. Molina has a better throwing arm. It's true.
Well, I've seen Aaron Cibia, you know, just out of focus behind that plate. Okay?
But you have no way to make that determination.
That is really deterring from his ability. You know,
Les, you have no way to determine whether or not JP is lacking focus. None whatsoever. The only one who knows that is JP, maybe his pitcher, and maybe his manager. But there's no way for you to know that.
Back to the Carlos Delgado days, okay, when he came up as a catcher, okay, as a young catcher.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know, he was groomed as a catcher, and you know, and that didn't work out, you know.
No.
I think the same syndrome is coming along with Aaron Cibia, okay?
I think
he may be better served, you know, maybe his bat would come around a little bit more consistently, you know.
I understand that, and I appreciate the call, but I'll tell you this. J.P. Aaron Cibia is a guy who is not an above-average bat as a first baseman. And as a catcher, he's an all-star. So I want to keep him behind the plate. I have no issues with his focus at all. He's going to set the Blue Jays record for most home runs in a season by a catcher this year as a rookie. And just the comparison with Molina, you got to watch Molina a lot more closely, because Jose Molina has a lot more bad habits behind the plate than J.P. Arencibia does. And he's been around this game for a long time. The Blue Jays lost 12-4 to the Baltimore Orioles. Jose Bautista got drilled in the head in the third inning, came out of the game, but all the news is good. We will hear from him as the Jays talk continues on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to Rogers Center. Blue Jays lose it 12-4 to the Orioles, but they did not lose Jose Bautista. He came out of the game in the third after getting drilled in the head. Our David Alter spoke to him.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm not hurt. My head doesn't hurt. I'm not dizzy. I feel perfectly fine.
Clearly, you thought and the team thought that it was an accident, just slipped off his hand.
Yeah, I wouldn't think anything else. It was an 0-2 pitch, so those sort of things happen every now and then.
So fast, do you remember anything about it? I mean, obviously you don't have time to get out of the way, but it just happened so fast, you don't remember it much of it.
Yeah, you just see the ball coming at you, try to get out of the way. If it hits you, it hits you, and that's what happened. But more importantly, I'm fine, and I expect to play tomorrow.
Was it, did it hit me flush, or did it kind of glance off your helmet?
It hit me flush, but I was looking away, so it kind of, the impact wasn't at full force. That's one of the good things about the whole thing.
Have you been hit like that before, ever?
No.
And chances of playing tomorrow at all?
I mean, it's not my decision, but I feel like I'm going to be capable of playing. I feel fine. I don't feel like I got hit, so.
Was it hard, I mean, for them to get you to come out of the game? I know they didn't have much of a choice, but I know you're the kind of guy that...
I didn't want to come out of the game, but they told me it wasn't a choice, so I had to come out of the game.
So they just do a battery of tests on you and you sit here the rest of the night?
I had preliminary tests tonight and I passed everything, so... got to see how I wake up in the morning. If there's no headache or anything, from my understanding, I should be able to play.
Did you feel woozy at any time?
Nope.
Was it just kind of stunned more than anything?
Well, everybody tells you when you get hit in the head like that, don't make any sudden movements right away. So I just decided to sit there for a minute and kind of let some time go by. And I wanted to stand up and everything earlier than I did, but I was receiving instructions by that time.
There he is, Jose Bautista. The news is good. He should be in the lineup tomorrow when the series continues. Ricky Romero against Alfredo Simon. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. Blue Jays lose it 12-4 tonight in the opener. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Rogers, a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. Any accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Joe C. Chilia, Joel McFadden, and David Alter, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.